All right, I'm going to start with story. Story is this. I used to be on a worship team, and every once in a while I am up here too. But I was on. I was a member of worship team for years and years at Word of Grace Church. Pastor Gary Kinman, the pastor of the church, and I was the bass player. Nobody remembers me because nobody remembers the bass player. Sorry about that, guys. You know, but they remember the people up front who were the pretty voices and all that kind of stuff. But I'm good with that. I just love laying down that low end, helping make it all happen, right? But so there was a Sunday morning. We were going out on a Sunday morning, and we were walking out on stage. And we were nearly everywhere we needed to be. The leader, Greg, was almost to the center where he was going to have the spotlights on him and the camera right on him to lead the congregation in worship. A couple steps before he ended up where he needed to be, I leaned over to him and I said, Greg, your fly, it's open, it's down. Your zipper, you know what I'm saying? And then I just backed up to my little place in the back row right there getting ready, right? And then I see Greg is like getting nervous, the hair on the back of his neck standing up, and he's turning around, and he does the old check, right? I won't do it right now, but, you know, he does the check and everything. And I was just joking with him on that morning. His fly wasn't out, and everything was okay. But I was just being a turkey, having a good time. But I'll tell you what, if his fly was down, that message that I gave him right before he ended up in the spotlights with the camera on would have been one of the most important messages he would have received that day. I'm going to tell you right now. All right, we're going to get serious now. You ready? Because here's the deal. There are some messages that are important and timely, messages that could even mean the difference between life and death. On April 18th, 1775, the important message was this: the British are coming. The British are coming. You see, the right message at the right time is important. But what is the most important message ever given to mankind? I'm going to ask that again. What is the most important message ever given to mankind? Yeah. Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. The most important message ever given to mankind. And the Apostle Paul gave us a very clear and kind of concise presentation of the core of the gospel. I want to dive into this. I want to remind us of this. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance." I mean, check out what he's... This is the Apostle Paul. He's preached a lot of things. He's written a lot of things. He's talked to the church about a whole lot of things. What do we get caught up on? Oh, how to use the spiritual gifts, and we're going to slice that all up and criticize and decide who's right and who's wrong. Or women, man, they got to wear those hats and be quiet, and we better. Let's focus on all of that. Paul says, here is the thing of first importance. This, if there was only one thing, I think he would say, if there's only one thing I could ever tell you that I ever would want you to hear, would be this. This is of first importance. Check it out. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried. He was put to death. He died. He was put to death for our sins, and he was buried for our sins. The most important is that he was raised on the third day, according to scriptures. In other words, he conquered sin and death. And that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12. Meaning Jesus, the one who was put to death for our sins, who was put in a grave for our sins, the one who conquered that sin and conquered that death and was raised from the dead, has appeared, and he is alive, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is the gospel of Jesus. This is the most important message of all time that every single man, woman, child who has ever lived and ever will live needs to hear. And it's no joke. It's of utmost and first importance. The good news of what Christ has done, paying the penalty for our sins. And that important message demands a response. But how do we respond? How do we enter into and how do we then live a gospel-centered life? How does that all happen? Kind of the tagline for our church, Evident Life Church, gospel-centered, spirit-filled. How do we enter into and then live, like day after day, this gospel-centered life? Well, I submit that a full, complete, sincere, biblical response to the gospel of Jesus is a response where Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is King. All three. So for the next 3 weeks, ending on Easter Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be discussing what it means for Jesus to be our Savior, our Lord, and our King. So this three-week Easter series is titled, Jesus Is. There it is on the screen. Jesus Is. Jesus Is. My prayer is that this three-week journey is not going to just be some academic exercise to go, oh man, that was cool. I never saw that before. That was really neat. No. It won't be an academic exercise. Rather, my prayer is that this three-week journey where we're exploring who Jesus is going to take us to a place where we're doing some real inventory of our lives. What do we really believe about Jesus? And I believe, as Scripture says, show me your faith, James says, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. I think we all need to take some inventory. Is Jesus, is he really our Savior? Is our life reflecting that? Is Jesus our Lord? Is our life reflecting that? Is he King? Do we really comprehend that? Or is it just a box that we check? Savior, Lord, King. Have you responded to the gospel? That's what I want us to all process. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. My prayer is that you're going to take these messages and this exercise that God has us going through very seriously. Have you really responded to the gospel? Is he truly Savior, Lord, and King? Title of this first message, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Savior. Turn me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. First chapter of Matthew, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, speaking of Joseph. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Point number one, his name means Savior. In fact, really what we need to know about Jesus is summed up in his name. You know that old saying, what's in a name? There's a lot in a name. There's a lot in this name Jesus. You see, Jesus, or Yeshua, means Jehovah saves. That's the meaning of his name. Yeshua, Jesus, as we say in English, right? Jehovah, God, saves. The name Jesus is actually a transliteration of the ancient Hebrew name Joshua, which also means Jehovah saves or God saves. And so even before his birth, God the Father wanted us, mankind, to understand who he was sending to this earth and why he is sending his son to this earth. Even before Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit, he was given the name Jehovah Saves. God saves. So basically what we need to know about Jesus, his purpose, his life, his mission, is summed up in his name. Jesus is Savior. Yeshua, Jehovah saves. But why is this important to all of us? Oh, that's really cool. Jehovah, you know, Yeshua means Jesus saves. That's kind of cool. I'm going to put one back that back there so next time I have a Bible study, I can sound like, oh, yeah, you know, Yeshua means Jehovah saves, God saves. He had that name even before he was born. Isn't that cool? No, no. Why is this important to us? Why do we need to really wrap our minds, our hearts, our lives around this prophetic truth of who Jesus is? Why is Jesus Savior important to us? That's point number two. Because we all need to be saved. Everybody. I'm kind of feeling like almost Pentecostal right now. I want to just say, look to the person next to you and say, you need to be saved, man. If you want to do that, you can go ahead and do it. But do it with kindness. Because they're looking at you saying the same thing. You need the same thing. Why is Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah saved? Why is the reality that Jesus is Savior so important to us? Because we all need to be saved. Every single one of us, everyone who has ever lived and ever will live, needs to be saved. More important than paying your bills. More important than getting your kids a college scholarship. More important than what are the gas prices today? And goodness, isn't somebody going to do something about it? More important even than World War III maybe happening. I don't think it is, but more important than all of that. You need to be saved. You need to be saved, man. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. Every single one of us. I'm just wired this way. Every time I think of fallen, I always think of that Lifeline commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. You need a Lifeline. Press this button and it'll call the people out and they're going to help you, right? And I'm going to tell you what. You've all fallen. And you can't get up. Can't get up on your own. And without a lifeline. Now I'm thinking about who wants to be a millionaire. You see how my brain goes? Need a lifeline? I mean, it's horrible living inside of here. It just is. Think about being married to me. Oh, Lord, help that woman. But we have. We've all fallen and we can't get up. And we have got to have a lifeline. We all need to be saved. Every single one of us needs to be saved. We all need to be rescued. But rescued from what? From a bad day. Rescued from a rough life. No. You need to be rescued from hell. So my son, this is just coming to me. My son just started working at Fire and Brimstone. You know, it's a pizza place. And it's a cute name, Fire, you know, because they cook it in the pizza oven type thing, you know, with stone oven and all that. So they call it Fire and Brimstone. And I think it's rubbing off on me. I think I'm just preaching like a Fire and Brimstone kind of message here. You know, anyway, I don't know. Or I'm just really hungry for pizza. Or God wants to say something to his church. God wants to say something to the world. God has the most important message of all time for us right here. We all need to be rescued. And we all need to be rescued from hell. Seriously. Eternal damnation. Eternal separation from God, the Creator. We need to be rescued from the penalty of our sins. But I did a bunch of good stuff last week. Doesn't matter. Congratulations, and it's the right thing to do. Good. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't save you. For the wages of sin are death, Romans 6:23. So to know the gospel is to know that standing alone, all that and a bag of chips on your own merit, standing alone, isn't going to hack it. It isn't going to do it. We've fallen short. We've sinned. We deserve the punishment for our sins. We deserve eternal death, eternal separation. We all deserve hell. And if you'll get real with yourself just long enough, you know that. You know that. But there's a message for us, a most important message for us that's been given to us by the one who created us for a purpose, not one of hell, but a purpose of life. Created us for the purpose of knowing Him and being known by Him. Create us for a relationship with Him now and forever. There's a message. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read this message again. For what I received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I believe this morning I wasn't in the class, but I got his notes. Brent was teaching on substitutionary atonement. I think this morning, or is that next week? This morning. This morning. You see, Christ became our substitute. And the death that we needed, that we deserved, He took. Upon Himself, He stepped into our place. That's good news. That's why it's called the gospel. You know, the gospel is the good news. The good news. The reality is, we don't deserve the good news. We deserve hell. But God in His love has good news for us. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but check out the rest of it. But, the wages of sin is death. You're going to hell. It's going to be hot. It's going to hurt. But, this is God's word for you. But, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Savior. Jehovah saves. God saves. God made a way. And when God does something, He doesn't just do it halfway. He doesn't give His leftovers. He gives His best. His first. And He does it right. God's desire for us, and I want you to hear this. So I've been talking to hellfire and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. And that's real. But God's desire for us, God's desire for you, again, it's not hell. It's not separation. His desire for you is life. And that to the full and eternal with Him. That's His desire. That's why you were knit together in your mother's womb. You weren't knit together in your mother's womb to go through hell on earth here and then to end up in hell. You were knit together in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made by God for life. And that to the full and that eternal. And He made a way to guarantee that. Yeshua, Jesus, is Savior. but without a Savior, we die. Let me tell you a story. When I was in grade school, we were living in Minnesota. It's cold in Minnesota. I don't go back to Minnesota in the winter anymore. It hurts. Like, it's that painful. It's that cold. But as kids who grew up there, you know, we didn't really know the difference. We were just, you know, young and stupid and cold and didn't even know it, right? And so we would go outside and play in the middle of the winter. The snow would be over our heads, right? I mean, and it would be negative. It would be below zero. We'd throw on our snowmobile suits, you know, walking out there with our boots on, and we would just play because we didn't have all this stupid distraction that kids have today. They keep them behind a screen that I think are messing up generations of people, including us older folks too. It's messing us up. But we got outside, old-fashioned way, and we had fun in the snow. Well, one thing that we would do, don't judge me, y'all are sinners too, okay? I know that because Scripture has told me that. Y'all have sinned, right? So what we would do, though, is, so this was a little earlier in the winter, probably about August. That was a joke. But earlier in the winter, when the ice would start to form on the pond, it was a kind of a good-sized pond in our little neighborhood out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country, and we had about 15, 20 houses out there. Us kids, we would run around together and just look for good things to do. And one of the things that we thought was a good thing to do and an exciting thing to do was we would like to rescue muskrats and beavers from their traps. And so we would steal their traps. We would steal the traps of the trappers. The trappers would put these traps in the water about 8 to 10 feet off the shore, and they put a big old stick in there. They'd put the trap, you know, the chain around that stick, and then they'd come back and they'd check the trap. So on, you know. Well, we would go out there on the ice and steal the traps. One day, we were doing that. The ice apparently wasn't quite thick enough, and one of my friends, I use that term loosely, by the way. Sometimes he was the biggest jerk in the world. But anyway, Sean Bannerman, don't look him up on Facebook or anything like that, but Sean was going to go out there and steal this particular trap. He goes out there, and next thing you know, ice gives way. He is under the water, 8 to 10 feet off the shore, going under, his snowmobile suit, his boots, filling up with water. It's below zero outside, and everybody else wants to just run, like, uh-oh, we've really messed up now. But God gave me some wits about me. I grabbed the biggest stick I could find behind me, and I ran back, put a couple feet in the water, extended the stick to Sean. He grabbed the stick, and I pulled him out of the water. Pulled him out of the water. He had enough wits about him still. I pulled him out of the water. We ran him over to my house, which is about eighth of a mile, quarter mile away from where we were, and we thawed him out, and he was screaming. Because you know how when you get really cold, and then you put just, in, anyway, he was screaming. See, on that day, though, without a Savior, without me, and a really big, long stick, Sean would have died. He would have died. And here's my point. Like Sean, we've all fallen through the ice. We are all going under. We are all about to die, and we will die without a Savior. And here's the deal. Our Savior, Jesus, grabbed a stick and he put himself upon it and he extended himself toward us to save us. Hallelujah. We all need to be saved. Jesus is Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave His one and only, His best, His first, His prize. He gave His one and only Son that whoever, not just special people, but no, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, shall not drown in that cold water, go under and die, but instead will have eternal life. And then check this out. Why? Because God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus and a big stick called the cross. So, do you know Jesus? I mean, do you really know Jesus? Do you know Jesus, this Jesus who saves? What happens when Jesus is Savior? What's the effect, in other words? What happens? Something happens, right? What happens? Something happens when we receive, when we surrender to Jesus. Something happens when Jesus becomes our Savior. Something happens when we hear the most important message ever given and actually respond to it. Something happens. In other words, there are results to Jesus being your Savior. And believe me, we live in a world that wants results. We want results. We want it now. We want it to look our way. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus is Savior, there are earth-shattering, life-changing, hell-emptying results that follow. When Jesus is Savior. What are some of the results? I want to run through these. I'm going to do it rather quickly because of time here. What are the results? Result number one, justification and salvation. When Jesus is Savior, there's this thing called justification, salvation that happens for your life. It says in Romans 5, 9 and 10, since we've now been justified by the blood of Jesus shed on that cross, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? Yeah, there is a wrath that God is going to be pouring out on all who fall short. Like, that's not fair. Well, is it fair that Jesus sent his only son? He made a way. That's amazing. For if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? There are results to knowing Jesus as our Savior. One of them is that we're saved. Salvation has come to us. We've been rescued. We've been pulled out, just like Sean was pulled out of the icy cold, deadly water on that day. That's the reality that we live in when Jesus, when he saves us, we're really saved. We're pulled out of death. It's no longer our future. Result number two is forgiveness. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says that in him, meaning in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all those dirty, rotten, stupid things that we've done, the sins, those places where we have fallen short in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness. I could never forgive them for that. God can. I can't forgive myself. God can forgive you. When Jesus is Savior, there is forgiveness. Result number three, we become new creations. New creations. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, meaning, if Jesus is your Savior, if he is your Savior, then the new creation has come to your life. The old has gone. The new is here. Not maybe, not someday, but it's here. These are the results. These are the things that, how in the world can that be true? How can that happen? Because Jesus is Savior. Notice, it's not because of something you did. It's because something that Jesus has done. That's why the impossible can become possible in our lives. Like salvation, like forgiveness, like becoming new creations, like result number four, like eternal life. Like the song goes, we're all on a highway to hell. We are. And if you drive like me on a highway, you're going at a good clip. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I think I need to take the Evident Life sticker off the back of my truck, but wow. It's confession time. The result of Jesus being our Savior, for the wages of sin is death, again, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. Life. We want life. We long for life. The only place that life is found now and forever is in Jesus. But it's one thing to hear the message, it's another to receive the message. And I know you're probably familiar with this little analogy, this little story, but I want to use this in this time just so we can get our heads around this and understand this. You know the story about how there's this flood happening and this guy, you know, can't get away in time, and so the flood's already coming up to his rooftop, and so he goes up and he stands on his roof and he doesn't know what he's going to do. He's worried he's going to drown. He's going to be swept away. And so what does he do? He cries out and he prays. He says, God, rescue me. Rescue me, God, rescue me. And so it's not too long after that that a boat comes by and somebody's like, hey, here we are. We got room. We're gonna take you away. And he's like, God's got this. I don't need your help, you know. I don't need that. I don't need to receive, you know, this place in this boat that you're offering me. I'm all good, right? And then later on, and there's more to the story, but I'll get to the chase. You know, the helicopter comes, right? And it's like, hey, this is all we got now. We got a helicopter for you, but we're willing to pull you off that roof and take you to safety. And the guy's like, I don't need what you got from me, you know. There's something else coming. There's something else coming. I'm believing. But the point is this. Then he dies, of course, because all my stories today go to, like, death. So anyway, I'm just saying. So he dies. He doesn't accept these gifts that were given to him to rescue him, right? And so instead of receiving the gifts, he gets death because he didn't receive the gifts of being rescued. And it's that way in our lives. There is a gift of life for all of us through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jehovah saves. God rescues. God has made a way for everyone to be saved. The way is Jesus, and he's come. He's come by right now, and he's saying, here I am. I've got everything you need. I'm your Savior. I'm here to rescue you. Just like Sean Bannerman, that day when that stick was extended to him in that cold water, if he hadn't grabbed hold of that means of rescue that were available to him, he would not be alive today. The means of salvation, of rescue, have been extended to you today in the gospel of Jesus. The work of Christ on the cross has been made available to you today. How do you respond? Scripture says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, what's his name? Jehovah saves, that he's Savior. All who believe in his name, he gave the right. I'll put it this way. All who grabbed hold of that stick, that means of salvation, he gave the right to become children of God. See, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier, doesn't it? Not only is he forgiving me, not only is he saving me, not only is he giving me eternal life, but now I'm a child of God? What? I'm grabbing the stick. I'm just saying it. Not only pulling me out of the cold water that I'm going to die in, but when he gets me out, I'm going to be a child of God? Yeah. Come on now. We're talking about God here, okay? He doesn't do things halfway. Doesn't do things small. above and beyond what we could ever hope or even think or imagine. It's crazy. I know it's crazy to our minds because we would never do that or expect that. But God is God. God is God. Children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of husband's will, but born of God. So how do we receive? How do we receive? How does Jesus become our Savior? I just want to break it down, because Scripture does right here. Scripture just says, well, we confess and we believe. That's how we receive Jesus as our Savior. We confess and we believe. It says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth. I'm going to say this now. The word declaration, to me, when I declare something, I say it like I mean it. You know what I'm saying? I say it like I mean it. Like I expect it. I don't whisper it. Anyway, just a point. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There are things that I circle in my Bible, I underline in my Bible, I highlight in my Bible. That word will is amazing. You will be saved. But I want to make sure we understand this. God is not mocked. You can't play God and play him like fakey God out type thing. You got to really believe. You got to really confess. Because he really sent his son. And Jesus really did step down from heaven and put on flesh. Jesus really did live a sinful life. Jesus really did willingly go to that cross and take upon himself your sins, my sins. He really did it. Didn't fakey do it. No. He really did it. He didn't check a box. So we believe. It says in Acts 16, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Fully trust in Christ alone as your way of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. Again, we receive salvation. We receive Jesus, Savior. How? We believe. By faith, we confess. And declare that truth. It's not a one-time confession. At Evident Life Church, we don't typically go, okay, now everybody say this prayer after me that we just kind of make up that's not in the Bible. And then raise your hand. And then come forward. And you're saved. Those are not necessarily bad things to do. But I just want to say, what does the Bible say? The Bible says you need to believe. It's not a one-time thing either. It's an everyday. You're waking up believing. You're waking up remembering that Jesus is Savior. You're waking up remembering what Christ has done, where he has gone, what he has taken on for you. Every day we live in the reality that Jesus is Savior. That's why we're different. That's why we don't just declare it one time or raise our hand one time. That's why it's an everyday thing. Because we're no longer who we used to be. We're new creations. The old man is dead. The new man is alive now in Christ Jesus. Does this excite anybody here? This is our reality in Christ now. And the world wants to rip us off from that every day by saying, oh, but you got all this other stuff to focus on. You got all these other reasons to live now. You got a job and a career and a family and a wife, and those are the things that you need to occupy your mind with. I say, occupy your mind with Jesus, your Savior, first and foremost. Occupy your mind with what He has done for you, and all the other stuff is going to work out a whole lot better. A whole lot better. I want to conclude with a couple statements. Jesus didn't simply save us from something. Jesus saved us for something. Yeah, we are saved from a lot of things, but we're saved for something even greater, and that is eternal communion with Him. No other person, no other philosophy, no work can do that. But Christ made a way for that to happen. I just want to encourage you, we're going to be closing here right now. We'll be singing as the ministers come forward, the prayer ministers come forward. These are just people like you and I who love Jesus, though, and they just bring things before the Lord, and they care about you. As the ministers come forward, and we're closing, I want to take the fellowship out in the fellowship hall and outside. It's a beautiful day. I want this place up front to be a place for people who need to bring their lives and their needs before Jesus. But first and foremost, I want this to be a place and a time when, if you have not responded to this most important message ever given to mankind, and Jesus, you have not made Him your Savior, and you're still drowning under that, in that freezing cold water, and it's about ready to be over, this morning is your morning to receive what Christ has done for you. This morning is your morning to believe, to confess, and to come alive in Jesus. So let's stand and let's close. And again, I encourage you, please do not walk out of here in the same condition you walked in. Today is your day of salvation.